Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like us to return this morning to the prayers of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. We considered last week the immense grief and sorrow that the Lord went through before the cross, as he was preparing to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And this morning, I want us to really focus on his prayer itself. His prayer itself, and as a help and as an example to us, to help us when we pray. The Scottish preacher, Robert Murray McShane, it's well known, he once said, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more." What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. Meaning, really, that the real test of your relationship with God, the real measure of your faith and your spirituality, is seen in how you pray. In how you pray. Now, by that standard, I think we'll probably all admit we're not the Christians that we want to be. I will confess that, despite the importance of prayer, I find it the hardest thing to do as a Christian, both publicly and privately. And I hope I'm not alone in feeling that we all need help to pray. It can be difficult for all of us. And we have our Savior's example in the Scriptures to help us. Because if it's true that what a man is on his knees before God, he is and nothing more, then you've got to say how amazing the Lord Jesus Christ is. How amazing our Savior is. I mean, if you look at him here in the garden, he's under this incredible weight of sorrow and of suffering. And really, he's all alone. And everything is being stripped away from him. And he's facing the horror of the cross. But you see here, when he's on his knees, how strong he is, and how faithful he is, how true he is. Just how wonderful our Savior is, how worthy he is to be Lord and Savior. He's the perfect Son of God, and here he is, powerfully and humbly trusting in God and calling on God. You know, you see who a person is when they're under pressure, and the real person behind the pretense comes out. Well, see how amazing the Lord Jesus is, how he handles this whole situation, and as he's on his knees. And I'd add to that, you know, it's a comforting thought. He prays for us still. He prays for us now, risen and alive in heaven. He's always interceding for us as his church. And we can always go to him in prayer. It's a comforting thought. But I want to suggest to you that the Lord's prayers in Gethsemane are highlighted in the Scriptures as an example for us to follow, especially when we're going through pain and distress. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans chapter 8, for example, from verse 15 onwards, Romans tells us how we should handle suffering when it comes in our fallen world. And we're told that we should pray, that we call on God as our Abba Father. That with the Holy Spirit's help, we call on God as Abba Father. Now that phrase, Abba Father, of course, is what the Lord Jesus is praying here in Gethsemane. Similarly, Romans says that the Spirit helps us in the weakness of our flesh. Again, that's pointing us back to the Lord's words in verse 41. Or you could think of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Again, the Lord's held out to us as an example, and it says, "He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears, and was heard." And again, of course, that's obviously a reference to him praying here in the garden. So we're being directed as Christians to say, particularly in times of trouble, here is the pattern for how to pray. So I want us to consider together really two things. First, the Lord's faith in his Father. his faith in the Father. He prays to God as Father, and he trusts his Father. He prays with faith. And then secondly, that the Lord prayed with passion and perseverance. Really, the Lord is pouring out his heart. From the depths of his soul, he's pouring himself out. And of course, he prays three times. He perseveres, even though it's difficult, in seeking God's will. So think with me first, as you look at the Lord's words, think with me about his faith in his Father. He says, "Oh, my Father." And Mark's gospel gives us the translation as the Lord would have literally said in Aramaic, "Abba, Abba," which is the word for Father. Now, if you've been a Christian in the length of time, you'll have heard about this word that, well, maybe it means something like daddy. Well, it's not quite right. It's a word that means both really intimate, loving father-child kind of connection. So maybe daddy captures the warmth of that. But it does also express a spirit of respect and of honoring someone who's the head of a family, someone who's in charge and of humbly submitting to them and honoring them. And it's kind of both together is the spirit of Abba Father. Very warm and loving, but also very respectful. And this is the key point, church. The Lord Jesus calls God Father. Father. Now we have God the Son here in the flesh in his moment of need, speaking with God the Father. So we're seeing something of the communion of the Trinity, of two of the three persons who are God. But more than that, it is fundamental as a Christian that you should call God Father. When you pray, you should call God Father. Because thanks to the Lord Jesus, you have been adopted into God's family. You may not be his natural, only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, but you are his adopted child, just as much his child. You are a spiritual child through grace. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven. And this is so essential for prayer. You must remember, brothers and sisters, who you are praying to. Because I suspect that so many of our struggles in prayer are because we just forget what it means that God is our Father. We just forget all that means. I mean, it's an amazing thought. God, the all-powerful creator of the universe, the infinite and holy one, is your Father in Christ. That name Father, biblically, it means he loves you. I know that sadly some of us may even have had bad experiences of an earthly father who really didn't live up to the name. But what the word itself means is someone who loves you and cares for you. Someone who's there to provide for you and protect you. Father in the scriptures means generosity. It's someone who will generously give to his own. Remember how the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Of course not. Not any good father. Well, think of what James says in James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. That's how generous God is as a father. Every good thing, every single good thing, every wonderful blessing comes from him as a father to you, his child. He's so incredibly generous and caring. Of course, when we pray, we worship him as the sovereign Lord, the Lord of hosts. We worship the holiness of the Trinity. We proclaim him as creator. And it's right we use all the biblical titles, but first and foremost, Christian, and especially when you need help. He wants you to call him Father. And practically, this transforms prayer. And so really, before you pray, the first thing you've got to do is kind of clear your mind, clear your heart, and you've got to remind yourself, I'm coming to my Father. Because some of the biggest hindrances when you're trying to pray are, well, we struggle, don't we, with guilt and with God's greatness. Our guilt hinders us. The devil brings it to mind. All the ways we've sinned and we fall short. God's not going to listen to me. I'm not good enough. I'm such a messed up failure as a Christian, such a sinner. Look what I've done. He's not going to listen to me. Or you think of God in an abstract way, just as the unknowable transcendent spirit and so above us, so powerful. How can I know him? How can I speak with him and relate to him? And the cure in both cases is to remember he's Father, a loving, personal God who has come near to us in Jesus Christ, who forgives all our sins. Now, really, what I'm trying to say to you, church, is you must remember the gospel before you pray. This is crucial. If your prayers seem like they're lacking real communion with God, if they feel like it's a real struggle and you feel like giving up, you must remember the gospel first. The grace of the Lord Jesus means you've got a new position. You're reconciled to God. You've got a new standing. You're no longer exiles and strangers. You're not a traveling salesman knocking on the door of God's house saying, please let me in, I want to make a deal. You're the child sat at the dinner table asking the Father, pass me the bread, please. And the gospel has totally changed your position. You're washed clean. God isn't looking at all the dirt of the past sins. He's nailed them to the cross. They've been buried with Christ. And now you are risen and you're clothed with Christ's righteousness. And he's putting his arm around you as his beloved child. And you must remember the difference that the gospel has made before you pray. Or your prayers will feel like you're speaking against a brick wall. All of this is what it means to call God Father. The Lord's showing us the way. You've got to remember everything you've already got. Sometimes we're asking for things as Christians that God's already given us in Christ. And the failure is we're just not remembering what we've already got. I came across this funny, tragic story about a newspaper publisher. I think in the last century in America, a man named William Randolph Hearst. And in his time, he was one of the world's richest men. And he was reading in a magazine one day about some fabulous pieces of art. And he wanted to add them to his collection. And so he sent down an agent to try and track them down and find where they are so he could buy them. And after many months, the agent came back to him and said, well, I found the owner, and they're called William Randolph Hearst. And he already owned so many pieces of art, he'd forgotten what he owned. They were already in the collection. And I'm saying that when it comes to prayer spiritually, we are often like that. We are children of God. And the greatest treasure of all, Christian, is he is your Father. Don't speak to him like he's a stranger. But he loves you. And don't you see the Lord doing that here? He's trusting his Father. He's trusting that what his Father purposes and wills is right. He is putting his faith in the Father. Even though everything that he can see, everything that's happening to him, would seem to say that God is against him. He's going to go to the cross and go through all of that. But his faith is greater than his circumstances. And he says, I know what the Word of God says about God as my Father, and I trust him. And there is an exercise of faith you must use when you come to pray. Faith is like a muscle, not a reflex. It's not something that you're just going to instinctively do. You've got to get a hold of yourself and you've got to stir yourself up and believe the truth and exercise your faith. Everything I see around me looks terrible. I feel terrible. But the Word of God says He's my Father. So in faith, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to pray. Calvin, John Calvin the Reformer, and I'd recommend read what John Calvin has written about prayer, particularly in the Institutes of Christian Religion. But he said this: prayer is the chief exercise of faith. It's the number one main way that your faith will work. He says, as faith springs from the gospel, so by faith our hearts are framed to call upon the name of God. What's he saying? Faith springs from the gospel. Remind yourself of the gospel. You are now God's child. And faith rises up so you can call on him in prayer. So to challenge us at the end of this first point, perhaps the major problem with our praying is our unbelief. Isn't it, perhaps? Isn't that what's really wrong when we're praying? Our lack of faith in the gospel. Our lack of trust that he's a loving father. We do not have because we do not ask. So I'm calling on you, brothers and sisters, to fight that unbelief and to use your faith and call on him as father. To come to the prayer meeting and we pray together at home, on your own, when we're gathered in worship. Have faith in the Father when you pray. Well, then the second thing that I think we see in the Lord's prayers is he prayed with passion and with perseverance. When you look at the Lord here, we looked at his sorrow and grief last time, but you've got to say, he is putting all his strength into this prayer. He's really pouring his heart into this prayer. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is opening up your heart to God. What's going on inside you in your thoughts and desires? It's opening that up to God. You know, Luke's gospel tells us that the Lord prayed so earnestly, he began to sweat blood. It's like he put so much of a strenuous intensity of feeling into his prayer. It's like his whole body was put into it. Prayer is not just saying words, going through the motions. It's in passion, pouring your soul out to God. Think of what James says in James chapter 5. The scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it says, Elijah prayed earnestly, fervently, passionately. I don't know if it's being British, but I think this is a part of prayer we really neglect. The Lord is not just listening to our words when we pray. He's looking at our hearts. Do we really believe when we're praying that you're asking the God who can do anything, nothing's too difficult for him? And are we pleading with him for it? Do we really want it? Now, the good news is, though, is it means when you pray, it's not about how eloquent you are. It's not about how good you are with words. And I'm not saying it's about how loud you are. It's not about literally shouting. It's not about how long your prayers are. I mean, look at the Lord's prayers here. It's very short. Just a set short sentence that he prays three times. But they were powerful because they came from his heart. With red hot intensity, he pleaded with God. So maybe if you do struggle to find the right words and never compare yourself to anybody else, but if you're looking at somebody else and they seem to be firing off Bible verses and almost like poetry when they're praying, don't be worrying about that. Maybe you're self-conscious about praying in front of others and you're hesitant to pray. You can only get a few sentences out. But if it comes with passion from the heart, that is so pleasing to God and is probably far more effectual than the long, long-winded thing where someone's gone to sleep halfway through. God's looking at the heart when you're praying. Again, if we're coming to Him as a father, any parent, you know how it is sometimes. Your kids come up to you and they can't find the right words to ask you for what they want. I want that thing over there. That, you know what it is. You know, that thing I had last week. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And you know as a parent what they're really after. You look beyond the words. And that's what God is looking at. He's looking at your heart. There is a danger, of course, that prayer becomes rote and lifeless and routine. You know, you can pray with your lips, but your hearts are far from God. So we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need His help to be stirred up, to pray with passion. And I think the key is it's a sense of need that drives you to pray with passion. It's when God opens your eyes and makes you aware of how needy you are, that you're helpless as a sinner without Him. And sometimes the Father's going to be teaching us how to pray. He's going to put us in difficulties so that we are overwhelmed and we see how needy we are. He's teaching us how to pray properly. Because really, that's the position we're in every second. We need His grace for everything. So maybe God, may He give us a deeper sense of need so we become passionate prayers. I mean, think of I probably can't say too much because it gets broadcast, but think of the need we just saw this morning. My precious little girl who came in. And I'm sure her story is multiplied all around us. Such desperate need. It should drive us to our knees to passionately plead with God. May we so pray. And so then also finally, the Lord Jesus persevered in prayer. He doesn't pray just once or twice or three. He prays three times. And He prays until He gets the peace and the strength that He needs. Again, Luke's very clear. He tells us it's after He prays the third time an angel comes to strengthen Him. The Lord prayed through the difficulty. He prayed through the discouragement of the disciples falling asleep. Have you ever heard the phrase, you've got to pray until you start praying? And you'll know what I mean by that, won't you, Christian? There's times you've got to really work and sweat at praying. And then there's a point when it's like suddenly God then comes. And you're given that sense that He's heard. And you're helped, and then suddenly prayer becomes easy. You've got to pray through. The Lord's under this time pressure. There's a mob coming to get Him with swords. But He's got this priority. He's going to keep praying until God meets with Him. And if there's one practical instruction the Lord Jesus gives us about prayer more than any other, it's this. Just don't stop. Keep praying. Never give up. Even if it seems like God isn't answering, keep on praying. And when it's hard, keep on praying. If you search the Gospels, how many times does the Lord say this to us? Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Ask, seek, knock, keep going until God opens. Think of the parable of the persistent widow. The Lord spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Remember, there's the widow who through her nagging, I call it the parable of holy nagging. She nags and nags the cruel, wicked judge until she wears him down. And he was a bad guy. And so the Lord says, if he's like that, how much more will the Father hear the prayers of those who cry to Him? Don't give up. Prayer that prevails is as much about perspiration as it is inspiration. Every time you pray, it's a test of faith. Do you believe that God will answer? It might not be that moment. But will you trust God so that you keep praying until he does? Because you trust him, you know his loving heart, that it's not possible for God not to answer. That he's so good and kind, it's impossible that he should not answer. So you keep praying until it comes. Think of our spiritual father, Jacob. He comes to the ford of Jabbok and the angel of the Lord wrestles with him. And they're fighting all night. And Jacob's hip is weakened and he's clinging on to him. And the angel says, "That's enough, I'm going to go." And Jacob says, "I will not let go until you bless me." That's how to pray. That's persevering in prayer. You say to the Lord, "Here's my wayward child. They've left the faith. They're far from God. But I'm going to pray for them. And I will not stop, Lord, until you bless and bring them back." And apply that to any situation you can think of. But I will not let go until you bless me. Even if it seems like God's fighting against you, I will not stop praying. That's faith in the Father. I remember reading a long time ago a story of a lady that was swimming the English Channel. And this was in the early days, before it happened all that much. And her mother came with her in the kind of guide boat, just following close by. And they could track how far she was and how well she was doing. But a thick fog came down, so thick that you couldn't see in front of you. And so, as this poor lady's swimming and she's losing heart because she can't see how far she's got to go. And she just thinks maybe she's got lost and she's getting dispirited. And she hears from the boat her mother just shouting, "Keep going! Keep going! It's not far! Keep going!" And at times prayer can feel a bit like that. You're in a bit of a fog. How long, oh Lord? How long? But our Lord Jesus is crying out to us, "Keep going! God will hear." So brothers and sisters, I hope I can encourage you to pray. Remember the gospel. Pray with faith in the Father. And pray with passion and perseverance. May God help us so to pray. Let's pray. Our Father, our merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the strength and the faith of our Lord Jesus in the garden, for his faithfulness and his prayers. And we thank you that he submitted to the cross for our sakes. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for our unbelief, that so many times we have not called on you as our Father, but in unbelief have prayed and yet have forgotten the gospel. And we would ask for forgiveness too for the many times, Lord, we have given up and not carried on praying. And Lord, for any times that we have merely spoken the words but our hearts have been empty, or forgive us, Lord. Forgive us that we do not pray as we should. But we do thank you for our Saviour's help and the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray. Make us a praying church. Pour out upon us, Lord, the spirit of prayer and supplication promised in the Gospels. Help us to pray together, Lord, and alone. Help us to remember the privilege of coming to you as our Father with all our needs. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.